everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our continued coverage of the California-Nevada Credit Union League's Reach Conference. And in this clip, we catch Mr. Stephen Rick, CUNA Mutual Group's chief economist. We catch the Q&A portion of his keynote address. And there's a lot of, probably three or four actually really good questions asked during the Q&A. So we thought we'd share this with you guys. So check it out.
Home builders are complaining about there's a lack of available workers, you know, the electricians, the plumbers, in order to build more housing than they're currently doing. There's strong demand out there. Also, there's limited land availability, you know, due to land restrictions. It's hard for them to actually find some land. And also just like lumber prices and things like that. We have some of the inputs that go into building a home, you know, building material prices are rising rapidly. So there are constraints on the industry, but the demand is there. Since it's harder to find an existing home, actually new housing construction is surging. And like I said, that's one of the areas that's really driving this economic recovery going forward. So we're trying to build more homes, but we're just limited by, you know, if you can't find more construction workers and electricians, it's hard to increase the number of homes we're building. But hopefully, you know, the market will adjust, wages will rise, and we'll see more people enter those trades. And but we do expect home construction to keep rising for the next few years.
Interesting. You know, along the lines that on the you know, letting side, one of our members shared that they're seen and heard that new car manufacturing is down as well, and that at some dealerships in their area, they've seen kind of a hard time getting new inventories. What are we seeing across the country in this area?
Yeah, because of COVID-19, there was supply disruptions, you know, actually building cars, you know, think of General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, you know, BMW, whoever. They just had a hard time building the cars because of supply disruptions and the shutdowns caused by COVID-19. That is loosening up now. More cars are starting to flow out of the factories to the dealerships to relieve some of that supply constraint that we saw earlier. But once again, if we do have a double dip recession this winter because of a second wave of the COVID-19 crisis, we could see those supply constraints reemerge and reduce the amount of cars being produced. But right now, that supply constraint is being eased somewhat, and car inventories are starting to build up once again.
Makes sense. And to kind of round out lending questions, you know, where do you see the student loan market, you know, heading? It's kind of been an area of a little bit of stress, you know, even prior to the pandemic. What do we see happening there?
You know, the big question is, in a lot of credit unions still do, you know, private student loans, even though the government took over the guaranteed portion a few years back. But private student loan lending, we still believe, will be viable. Once again, there's a big uncertainty right now with respect to the presidential election. Right now, it looks like Biden may have a chance of winning, and he does have some proposals in place about either eliminating significant amounts of the government-guaranteed student debt or to make college free for people who make up to, say, $125,000 in income. Well, that will reduce the demand for some of the student loan debt. But right now, we believe, you know, some of those proposals may not get through Congress. But we believe private student lending will still be a viable option for credit unions going forward for the next few years.
Fantastic. So you mentioned the potential for a double dip recession. What signs should we be looking for that could signal that we might start to head in that direction?
I mean, it all comes down to COVID-19. Looking at those cases right now, and we're over, 85,000 people every day are coming down with COVID-19. Just to adjust some of my numbers, we're averaging over 1,000 deaths per day. Tracking those to hospitalizations per day, if we start seeing more and more hospitals basically reaching their capacity, that will force the government to do, once again, either government mandated shutdown or stay at home orders in order to control the pandemic. If that happens, we're going to see, once again, job losses happen, maybe, you know, this winter sometime, December or January. But it's all, you know, really the path of this economic recovery will be driven by the path of COVID-19.
Makes sense. Let me combine a couple questions here. How low do you think deposit rates could go? You know, and do you think the Federal Reserve would resort to negative interest rates in the future, similar to what the European Central Bank has done?
Yeah, actually, the Federal Reserve has put out a few papers on this topic of negative interest rates, and would they be effective in reviving the U.S. economy? And from what I've read and talking to other economists, we don't believe the Federal Reserve will use negative interest rates. They've studied what's happened in Europe. It hasn't been that effective to actually revive the economy, and it mainly hurt a lot of the banks. It really reduces bank earnings, their profits, which weakens the banks. And you don't want to do that. I like to use the analogy that, you know, banks and credit unions are really the heart of the economy. You know, credit unions are to the economy what the heart is to the human body. If you hurt the heart in the body, you know, the body or the economy is going to weaken. And so you don't want to do that to the banks or the credit unions. You don't want to weaken them with, you know, negative interest rates. We're already under, you know, a significant net interest margin compression, as we just discussed in my economic presentation. Negative interest rates will worsen that, which actually creates a disincentive for credit unions to lend and banks to lend, which really slows the economy down. So the Fed looked at the European Central Bank, what they did in Europe, and said, yeah, that's probably not the best thing. We probably will not do that.
Makes sense. And, you know, kind of end this out. You present us with a lot of different ideas. I almost envision it like a dashboard for credit unions and making little adjustments here and there. If you could give one opportunity for credit unions to really think about for generation of income over the next couple of years, what would be that one thing?
I mean, right now, it's this, you know, not selling off all of their mortgages into the secondary market and booking those 3% mortgages instead of selling the mortgage and maybe just taking those funds and buying these very low yielding investments. Because there is a huge opportunity cost not having, say, that mortgage on the book earning 3%. It's significantly better than earning 0.5% on an investment. And year over year of not earning the 3% and only earning that 0.5%, well, that adds up. That adds up to lower overall return on assets and a slower build in your capital. So even though we are concerned about interest rate risk, that maybe someday in the future we could be paying 4% on a CD, but only earning 3% on a mortgage. You know, that's what happened to the savings and loans back in the 1980s, which caused the savings and loan crisis in the 1980s. We don't expect that to happen. We believe we're turning Japanese, that we're going to have very low interest rates for a very long time, similar to what we see in Japan and also many other countries around the world. So we believe there's less interest rate risk there, and that you have to have the money invested in a higher yielding loan versus a very low yielding investment today.
Thank you very much for that information, Stephen, and stay tuned for more coverage of the California Nevada Credit Union League's REACH conference here on CU Broadcast.